Hey, hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How is your life moving on? How is everything moving towards the center of profitability? We are already on the second day of the week, so it is all great in my opinion. What's the, your opinion? Tomorrow and the day after, I have two birthdays, so that looks forward. And I'm really excited because I have released the tax-free passport. So let's have a look on what we are gonna do on today's show. First of all, some violence in Eindhoven and a lack of moral sense. Then we have the Italy issues. We have a new project that I'm engaging in for the Dutch and English speaking market, which is gonna be lovely, high energy and great. And it will allow me to reach so many new beautiful people with this great podcast. So we're all moving there. Then we're gonna talk about leftist millionaires and do they pay their fair share of tax. We have the enemy of the state. That's an interview I had with Twan Manders. We will look at about that one. And we are talking about what happened in this case and the morality of taxation. So I'm just realizing it's pretty much taxation, but well, let's face the fact. Taxation is the way greedy, incompetent politicians finance their spending and their waste of economic resources. Past weekend, the Jumbo supermarket chain, the number two supermarket in the Netherlands, was big news. At least in Eindhoven, one of their employees and a customer who was shopping there on one of the busiest moments of the week had the bad luck to get a knife in their belly. Just a knife. And there was one other customer who dropped a knife in a customer's belly and dropped it into the employee that tried to help, and other people hold the person so that the police could take him over. I'm just thinking and wondering what's happening. I mean, earlier this year it was Albert Heijn, the number one supermarket chain. They opened the shop and a customer stabbed another customer in the shop. You have in between there is a petrol station that gets robbed pretty often. And you have also a supermarket in between from Jan Linders. They were robbed when they were just open. And to be honest, if you're robbing a supermarket on Tuesday morning, you're not that smart. I mean, there's not that much money to rob, I think. No, but, and I'm just wondering, what's happening? Why is this lack of moral sense happening? Why do we have to stab people? Is it just me who thinks this is going the wrong way? Is it because that in Eindhoven it's normal that people are dealing drugs on graveyards and that drug dealing near schools, kindergartens and churches is the norm and is standard? Is this what really is the issue what we are talking about? Is this the way we need to see? And to ask me, and is this the case that I should get, is it the country and the city with this moral sense that I should get kids in? I mean, let's face the fact, I'm 31, time for me to get settled, buy a wife or get a wife and get kids and those things. But it's just, in those world, in this world and this society, you're crazy to get kids. I mean, it makes no sense. And yeah, I know, I really hope that Albert Heijn, Jan Linders, Shell, who was a petrol station, Jumbo, that they never get the news again this way. Let it be a company failure or takeover or whatever. I don't care. But just that they don't get the news in, because all that violence is the wrong way. And I know that quite some high-ranking government people for the city are listening to my podcast. So, hey, guys, they are drugs dealing near churches, kindergartens, schools, graveyards. Is this normal? Not in my opinion, but it is unfortunately in the opinion of the government. And this is for me one of the big reasons that I support gun rights for everyone. Because definitely, you can't wait for the government. They are too incompetent to get drugs dealers out of a graveyard. Just imagine, you are gonna visit your beloved one, your grandmom, granddad, your kid, your husband, your wife, whatever. You are visiting someone at the graveyard. And there are some guys operating there, their drug trade activities. Really lovely. I mean, that sounds really to me like the town that you enjoy. If you're not, well, let me be clear about it. Welcome to Eindhoven, because that's the case. Uh, let's have a look at what happened recently in Italy, and you see the same thing happening in Catalonia, and the Brexit is the same thing. You see more and more prosperous areas of big countries are trying to gain more independence or more control of their own tax money. And that makes sense. I mean, you have every state in the US has an independence movement. You have a lot of big countries have independence movements for specific areas because people don't feel themselves at home in a big country. It's a little bit, I always say about the United States, you have Alaska, where it is handy for a lot of people to have an aircraft. You have Hawaii, where you need sun protection. And you have New York, where you just need a card for the metro and the transit. I mean, it's a big difference. And what we need to realize is big countries sometimes don't make sense. Or actually, most of the times they don't make sense. I mean, there was no referendum held that people should join the European Union, the political union, and that people said, yeah, we're gonna go for it, we want this. No, that didn't happen. So it's just that I would say that we need to realize what's happening. And you see it in Catalonia, but in Italy you had Lombardy and Veneto. They had a referendum. Both had over 90% who was going for independence. And you can say that you agree, you can disagree, but they had a referendum. In both cases, the governors and the politicians simply said, we go to Rome, we're going to talk, because we don't want to end up in jail, we are cowards, we don't stand for our principles. Well, and it makes sense. I mean, you have in Rome, you have an inefficient political organization with quite some corruption and bureaucrats, and they are spending the money that's made in those areas. And those two areas make Veneto and Lombardy make just 20% of the economy, so they have something to say. And what you saw in what you see happening now around is something the people start asking: who is spending my money, and why are they spending it this way? Is it not better to spend it a different way? Is it really a smart idea that a politician who I don't know, who don't care about me, is gonna spend the money, or is it not a better move that we can get it into a safer place and get it out? If you look, for instance, at the money that the people spend that now is taken from Italy, they want to get control of their own money. And what you need to realize then, if I look at Europe, the biggest and wealthiest countries are Monaco, Norway, Switzerland, Liechtenstein. The richest country in the European Union is Luxembourg, also the smallest one. This should be a clear signal for everyone. I mean, small is beautiful. It means profitability. For example, a big cost saving is wars. Big countries are having wars with each other, or they are powering wars in other countries. Small countries don't do that. I mean, I never heard about a war that was powered and fueled by Monaco, by the Seychelles, by Mauritius, or whatever small island, what nation. No, they are not powering the war. They don't care. They want to live their life. They want to go the way they will live, and they don't want to get engaged in. And if they are smart, like the guys in Liechtenstein did, then they make profits on the war. So that's just the way it goes. And I'm just thinking now, you see this happening, and we'll see it a lot more happening due to the economic downturn since 2008. Because so long things goes well, and if the money is getting into your pockets and your wallet gets bigger without doing anything, you don't care. You're not looking at who is spending my money. But in the case that you are looking at who is spending the money, then you need every penny. Yeah, well, why should you pay for a corrupt politician far away who doesn't care about you? And you will see this trend going on. Catalonia is the beginning, and it's not really a bad thing, because in the past, the European Union, Europe consisted about a lot of small countries, and those small countries did there some things, and some were prosperous, some not, but people were happy and they could live their life their way without being told what size, for Europe for example, a cucumber should be. Yeah, and I got some great news. I agreed with someone to set up a new partnership, so my company is expanding. It means that my company will get an additional partnership in the Netherlands. And basically what we're gonna do is something easy. I got quite some interesting investment reports. You can find them all at hofprofit.com. Well, Those reports are going to be used, at least the knowledge that is gained by developing them, for developing e-courses. The e-courses are going to be sold in the Netherlands and the English-speaking world. So that means so many new people and so many new ways to reach beautiful new people, to bring them in line with my podcast, to tell them what my podcast is about, and to give them the same opportunities you have with getting ahead with great information. And it's an interesting deal. I think the great thing for me is that it has no cash out and it's likely to generate a few thousand a month from Dutch market and cash in. That's good, in my opinion. That's just easy. That's money the way it should go, to me. The English version I will put in the English-speaking world out myself, and I will put them out via the traditional channels. And then I'm just thinking about other bloggers and great sources. And it's just, for me, it's a great way to use the same basic knowledge twice. And the best thing is that the first part is also one really popular thing. We are gonna talk about Bitcoin. How to make money on Bitcoin and Bitcoin profits. That's what the e-course is about. I will make the e-course on the webshop next weekend, because now we got the tax-free passport out. So check it out. Simply Google Hofprofit tax-free passport, or go to Hofprofit and you will see that it will become the featured product. And your ways to paying tax, stop paying bureaucrats, and keep the money you deserve and you earned, and do it on the legal route. And today, I must admit, I'm a bit pressed for time. There is quite some things that I have to do, and some things really take a long time. So, for example, when I have recorded this podcast, I need to get my daily Clean My Body Jasmine Green Relaxing Tea and make my extremely healthy lunch, which will be around vegetables all again and salmon. Gonna be yummy. So I will skip the Alibaba and Amazon profit part without investing in it, and I will do that and you will get it tomorrow. So don't forget, your lovely e-commerce friends, I will not forget you, but you are just in tomorrow. And around the world you see a global group of millionaires who claim to be leftists and who talk and push for higher taxes. And there is something that I'm wondering about. I mean, Warren Buffett and George Soros are by far the most well-known people who say taxation should be higher. What lots of people don't realize is Warren Buffett, yeah, we all know he made his money by investing. And the way he invests, I really admire it. I mean, he's doing well. But what his investments are mainly made via his insurance companies. And this means something to you and me. It means that he can make the investments with pre-tax dollars. So in the basic, it works like this. An insurance company gets money in, and they invest that money to meet the future obligation and to cover the expenses. Basically, the way you should look at an insurance company is at an investment fund. And you are not owning the investment fund. You are paying money into the investment fund. And the owner of the investment fund, the insurance company, is making the investments. That's why you see that's why you see that a lot of insurance, for example, life and retirement insurance companies, have big portfolios of shares in companies who pay dividends, and they need that money because they guarantee you, or they need some forms to get the money in to cover for your needs. And the interesting part is that from a bookkeeping perspective, after the Enron scandal, they have to value them at book value, at just how they are registered at the exchange. So that means that insurance companies are really tough to analyze quickly from an investment point of view, because you need to check it out and they are all figuring it out. The second thing that you need to realize is that the millionaires and the billionaires who talk for high taxes, they are making investments with pre-tax dollars. So, well, you have to buy their mutual fund and their company with money that you already paid tax for. They are doing it before tax, and when they have spent everything, the tax collector drops by for a friendly chat and says, oh, well, there was nothing. Thanks for the coffee. Cheers, mates. So this is something really hypocrite. And in the US, the UK, and in most countries, you have a website from the government where you can donate money to the government so that they can reduce the debt. Well, basically, it means you can donate your money with after-tax money, and then give that to greedy politicians for more wasteful time and waste all in economic resources. But if you want to do that, that's fine. That's called donation, and that's fine. They don't put a gun on your head. But what the bad thing is, what they do is they push people to pay higher taxes. And I'm just wondering, why are they doing it themselves? I mean, they could, for example, get their accountant, calculate how much that money is, and then just say, well, I'm going to donate that money to the government at once. I mean, then I would say, yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Because at this moment, they talk the talk, but they refuse to walk the needed walk. So get it out and think about this. I mean, it puts the debate in a really, really, really different perspective. And yes, they are right. It is insane that they are in a lower, that they pay as percentage of their income a lower amount of tax than their assistants is doing. So let's lower the amount that the assistant has to pay in tax. That would be my solution. But let me know what you think about it. I look forward to hearing back from you. And it's time for the great moment you've all been waiting for. It's time for the interview with Twan Manders. Twan, what can I say about him? Twan is a lawyer. I can describe him best as he is an enemy of the state. The Dutch government took everything away from him. He had a law firm specializing in helping people, freelancers, entrepreneurs, to pay legally less tax. Nothing wrong with it. But he basically, what he did, he used the structures that you see in the Panama Papers and the Paradise Papers for all the big companies. And all the big companies are doing it. The Shells, the British Queen, they are all doing it. And they do it. And he made it possible for the entrepreneur, the freelancer, the guy with the company, the shop owner to do it. And the government took everything away from him. They filed different charges against him. They also locked him up in jail for bankruptcy fraud, which is really weird because normally they don't lock people up for bankruptcy fraud. So I think that something else is happening on their side. And on all the charges were all the criminal charges were fiscally and paper driven. So basically what you need to get a good prosecution going on is get an accountant, check if they were doing something illegal. Were they doing money laundering? Yes or no. Were they doing tax fraud? Yes or no. It's easy. They can do it. They can check it out and then bring the case forward. For this, you need papers. So when the government raided his company, the government took all the computers, all the papers, all the talks with customers. And don't forget, he's a lawyer. So his customers should be entitled to some privacy. Unfortunately, if it is related to tax, the government thinks you deserve no privacy. Well, having that said, now 4 years later, they still didn't push charges and they are not sure what's and it's really uncertain what's happening. In the past, Twan was also the person trying to get a parliamentary seat for the Libertarian Party. So that was really good and he did a great effort, and you see the Libertarian Party is on the move. The Libertarians are growing. Yay, we are there. And what it is, and I thought he is a good guest, first of all, because he is an enemy of the state. So likely he will gain a lot of listeners, which is really important for the podcast. Second way is, for sure, the Panama Papers, the Paradise Papers, the LuxLeaks, everything, they're all talking about it. And he walks the walks, talk the talks, he knows how the business works. So I would just say, let someone who can talk about it, give them a great opportunity to talk. And then, as you know from me, not a quick 6-6 1-minute headline, no, a good proper chat. I must admit that during the interview I had some problems. One of the MP3 recorders for Skype that I use, MP3 Skype recorder, crashed. So we had to do it in a few pieces and that was working. So that was it. That was him. For the problems with MP3 recorder, I'm really sorry. Unfortunately, there's not much I can do against it. I always record it with two programs, so I have a backup which I used. Let me know what you think about it. I look forward to hearing back from you. So drop it on SoundCloud, drop it on Twitter, and let me know.
A very warm welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
The honor is all on my side. So the government took everything away from you just because you were helping the tax.
Yeah. Well, obviously their claim, their charge, is that it wasn't just tax avoidance, but tax evasion as well. Mm-hmm. But so far, they have not provided any evidence of this. You know, they've had many years to do so. I mean, the charges were brought in January 2014, so that's almost 4 years ago now.
That's a long time.
Yes, and there's still no trial.
Shocking.
No trial date is set, and no evidence has been presented.
That's shocking. It should be noticed.
Yes.
I mean, it's a paper crime, so if there was a crime, then you have all the papers. I mean, but
yeah.
It indicates that there's no crime.
Yes, well, they took, in January 2014, they took all papers, all computers, all anything else that had any information on it, whether in paper or electronically, all computers. So they have all the data of all the clients and all the prospective clients that we talked to and the notes of those conversations. Those are over 11,000 records.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, they have not presented one client, and not even one prospective client, who has ever been convicted of tax evasion or any other related crime, or prosecuted or charged for any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And while the charge that the charge against me is that I am a member of a criminal organization whose purpose is to help clients evade tax or launder money or commit related crimes, fraud. So it's funny that they have not only have they not presented any evidence, they've not even presented one client or one potential client.
Amazing. I mean, you would say it's just, I mean, it's not that you're like you have the Me Too debate now going on in the world, which you can say, well, it happened decades ago, we need to look at what happened then, it's tough. This is just, you got a complete file, you can just look at it, get an accountant on it, and see what you're gonna do. Should not take 4 years, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you're not the government, lucky enough. Take it from there. You had a successful company. Located, I was in there once in your company. Really nice building. Really nice, must admit. But they took it away. They took your house away. So literally everything you had, including that, so making it even tougher for you to take care of your kids. And you're now setting up a legal firm. And you was here at the Panama Papers parliamentary investigation. And your interview went viral, and that was the interesting part, because a lot of people were sitting there at the Panama Papers, the parliamentary hearing, and just saying from, well, a little bit talking with the politicians, and you was just giving them full notice on there on what they are saying. So why did you took that approach?
Why did I take the approach of telling them
the truth?
The truth.
Yeah.
It's basically because they pushed me. There was this member of parliament of the Socialist Party
mm-hmm.
who kept asking me questions. And basically the question was how dare you help people avoid tax while your children go to school. And while you make use of public housing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite astonishing. I mean, the government took my house, not just my house, my business, my career. They took everything I had. But including my house. So they forced me to use public housing.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, taxation is justified And you should admit it's justified because you use services paid for by taxpayers. Well, this reminded me of a quote by Harry Brown. He said, government is good at one thing. It's good at breaking both your legs. Then handing you a crutch and say, see, if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't be able to walk.
That's one way to look at it. My way, to be honest.
So that line of questioning was completely out of line, irrelevant for this hearing, the purpose of the hearing. And I told her that, and I said, well, if you insist, I'm happy to answer why I think taxation is theft, because that's what she asked me.
What I saw on Facebook a post about it dropping by, because we are Facebook friends. We are not really popular with the government, so I say obviously we are. But the interesting part, what I saw, is that the government could use the information you gave in the parliamentary hearing in your criminal case. You had no rights on a lawyer, you had no rights on anything, and you had to answer everything. And if you make any answer incorrect, they would lock you up for it. Basically, which I was just shocked. I mean, it's an easy way to get the trial set up by someone. We say that Vladimir Putin would do it. I think you're all your rights. We have to answer. That's an easy way. It's just amazing and it's shocking, in my opinion.
It was a little bit different. So I was subpoenaed to appear before this parliamentary questioning tax scheme and did not have the right to appear. I did not have the right to remain silent. I did not have the right to refuse to answer questions or to incriminate myself. And I was interrogated under oath. Now, formally speaking, the testimony I gave could not be used against me. Other than to prosecute me for lying under oath, but that could not be prosecuted for anything that I said during my testimony. But at the same time, if the answers I gave would lead the tax fraud investigators to find independent evidence of the same things that I said, that independent evidence could be used against me. And that is why this formal protection of not being prosecuted for anything I said during this parliamentary questioning committee hearing. That protection was not worth very much.
Okay, yeah, I understand. So, and if you look back at the parliamentary hearing, which, by the way, you went viral in it with the way you took it back. So, you're the big star at the moment. You're the star. But if you look back at it, what do you think about the hearing and the Panama Papers?
What do I think of Panama Papers?
Well, first of all, the papers are always fun. I mean, that will be cool. Let's sort out the bureaucratic government first.
What do I think of the hearing? Well, it was an initiative of leftist parties. And the committee was almost exclusively made up of MPs of very leftist parties. They had a political agenda. Their agenda was to make tax avoidance look bad. To name and shame people who engage in tax avoidance. And to create an atmosphere of painting people who engage in tax avoidance as awful, terrible people. And
Their purpose was also to create an atmosphere where new laws will be passed to make taxes more difficult, or to make forms of saving tax that have always been legal illegal.
That's their agenda. And formally, the purpose of these hearings was to get to the truth, to get more information about how tax avoidance works.
That's not what happened. They hardly asked me any questions about how the tax avoidance structures that I promoted were actually used.
How they worked.
How they led to tax savings for clients.
That's supposedly what this hearing was about.
But they didn't ask any such questions.
I did tell them what tax breaks were possible.
What taxes could be voided. But I sort of told them voluntarily, that's not what their questions were about.
Also, what's interesting is that they admitted to talking to the prosecutor's office before the hearing.
And essentially that was done to avoid entanglements between this hearing and the criminal case. But what I discovered is that the questions that I was asked had very little to do with how tax schemes work.
The questions that I would have expected as part of my criminal trial, as part of this hearing.
So the hearing was just a starter for the criminal trial against you, likely.
Well, we don't know how these people think and what they do, but we can always form a theory based on what is likely. From what happened, it seems likely that the reason they gave for holding the hearing is not the true reason.
So they are lying at the government once again. Not really for the first time in government history. Oh well.
Somebody once investigated what occupation, he made a list of the top 10 occupations where you find liars.
And there were three occupations where you found a lot of liars.
Which was real estate agents, used car salesmen, politicians.
The politicians were the worst. Yeah, definitely. They get away with all the lies, unfortunately. Then let's take it to the Panama Papers and the Paradise Papers, because one leakage after another leakage gets out. And the interesting part is that you see at all the leakages, well, they say, basically, nothing illegal happens. That's the interesting part. It's just legal. But what do you think about all those leakages and how the media is pushing it as the big news?
Well, first of all, they usually do admit that almost all the information that has been published as a result of so-called leaks. Points to the conclusion that the people engaging in saving their taxes are doing so legally, are avoiding tax, not evading tax. What's also interesting is that usually these leaks are caused by somebody stealing the information.
So typically, this is highly classified information.
Okay. This is usually not just protected by contracts with clients, with employees, promising to hold this information confidential. But often times, the information is leaked from countries that have privacy laws that make it illegal to give confidential information to third parties without a judge first deciding that the information must be provided.
Mm-hmm. In other words, the information is stolen.
Typically, a lot of these leaks, what happens is that whoever stole the information first tried to blackmail his former employer. Saying, unless you pay me X, I will give the information to the government.
And to the tax authorities.
And when the blackmail doesn't work, of course it does work, we'll never know about it, but when it doesn't work, the blackmailer then sells the information to the tax authorities.
Mm-hmm. Which means information, because it's all legal.
Yeah, well, in the case of the Panama Papers and the Paradise Papers, it seems that all of it is legal.
But there have been leaks in the past where information was found about cases where savings accounts had not been reported.
So where people had underreported their savings.
That has happened.
And that, of course, is the information that the tax authorities would happily pay for, which they have done. But of course, that is a case offensive, because the government acts as thieves for stolen information.
If you and I would buy a stolen bike, we would get a harder criminal judgment than the person who was stealing the bike. So, it's really strange from the government that they pay for things that are stolen. And in the case of the Paradise Papers, where the leak is a law firm, it also means that the client lawyer security and privacy is even gone.
Yes, that's correct.
Client attorney privilege is only in the courtroom, literally.
But not in this case.
So the confidential bond between an attorney and his client has been violated, not just the Paradise Papers, pertains to information stolen from a law firm. Also, Fonseca is a law firm as well, the Panama Papers is another example of the violation of the confidentiality between an attorney and his clients.
Okay, then I would then. What do you think that your law, your criminal case against you, will end up with?
Well, you asked me about the Panama Paradise Papers, something else to ask about this.
Go ahead.
Another thing that struck me is that in the Panama Papers there were many tens of thousands of individuals.
Who used these structures to legally save on their tax bill.
And the media treated this as a huge scandal.
Where people should be ashamed of themselves for not paying their fair share.
And there was also some information that showed that there were people connected to government bureaucrats and politicians. And that to me was the real scandal.
What it shows is that being in government or being well connected to government is very profitable.
Government corruption, where bureaucrats steal from taxpayers to line their own pockets, or those of their buddies. That goes on. That's what should have been focused on.
And the focus should have been on how to end government corruption.
And of course, the only way to do that is to make government smaller.
The only way to do that is to make sure that government has less money and less power.
Because what you find in all the international investigations is that there's a very strong correlation between corruption on the one hand and economic freedom on the other hand.
And it's inverse, in other words, the higher the degree of economic freedom, the lower the corruption, which makes perfect sense.
Because when bureaucrats have a lot of money and power, it makes sense to bribe them.
On the other hand, if they have very little money, there isn't much to bribing them.
But that was not at all discussed.
Instead, the Panama Papers were used to promote the idea of even bigger government.
That should have even more powers to snoop on us, to surveil us, to go through our information.
That the laws for protection should be further reduced and undermined.
And that government should have more money.
Government should take more money from the taxpayers.
That's the message that the journalists were trying to promote.
And by the way, most journalists in the Netherlands, at least, are very leftist, really leftist.
Yes, that's true, and I think it's true not just in the Netherlands, but in a lot of countries.
It's also, I think, likely why a lot of people don't want to read the newspaper anymore.
Yep.
So, that's it. Okay, I would say thank you for your time, because I believe your kids are getting home from school.
Yes, that is correct. But I'll be happy to talk to you again another time.
The honor's all on my side. You're one of my big heroes from since I started out with a small bookkeeping firm. So keep doing the great things. And thank you. Klein vraagje. Kunnen wij eventjes voor de zekerheid de introductie in de show van hey, welkom, even opnieuw opnemen? Heb ik hem gegarandeerd? Dan kan, als dat niet
heel goed. Ja, okay. Ja, is goed. Ja, is goed.